so we're going to look at that this morning. So one of the first things, again, is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. He is a person. Now, in the Old Testament, the emphasis was on God the Father. God, He created all things, right? He raised up a nation from Abraham, called them Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. He raised up a people out of nothing, and He was a father to them. He was Father God, and we began to know Him as Father God. And then whenever Jesus came to the earth, right, he came in flesh and blood so that we can actually see Him. It was the manifested presence of God. We were able to see God through the body, Jesus. And so the emphasis and the focus was on Jesus. But then what does Jesus say whenever He's on this earth? He said, I will send you a helper. And whenever I am taken up, whenever I am going to the Father, I will send you a helper, someone who will be with you to the end of the age. And so now we live in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And so we are able to obtain and live with and have Him dwell on the inside of us. And so I pray that you would not only come to know about the Holy Spirit, but that you would come to know Him. That He would come and live on the inside of you, that He would dwell on the inside of you, that you would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can begin to take back what the enemy has stolen. Amen. You can take back ground. And so we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our children need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They go to battlegrounds, not schools. They go to battlegrounds and where the enemy is constantly trying his attacks and trying to get them to fall. They need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17 says this. He says, and I will ask, this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you. Now, just look at that word helper. If I'm working a construction crew, if I'm building something, and I like to build things, but if I'm building something and I hire a helper, I'm not hiring a machine, I'm not hiring a robot, I'm not hiring any such thing, I'm hiring a person. And so this person will come alongside of me and help me do a particular task. And so, but He says, the Father, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So we're proving the point again and again throughout the Scripture that the Holy Spirit is indeed a person. And so we see pronouns such as Him, knows Him. He dwells on the inside of you. Amen. If we think about this, the Holy Spirit is no less a person than Jesus is a person. Amen. So, other scriptures supporting this, in John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. So one of the interesting and important roles of the Holy Spirit is that He will affirm everything that Jesus came and spoke about. And so if someone says they're of the Holy Spirit, but they're saying something that Jesus did not say, doing something that Jesus did not do, they're not acting in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will affirm everything that Jesus said and did. And so, again, we see personal traits. We see personal characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And go one more chapter over in John 16, verse 13, it says, and when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. And so in this verse, we learn that the Holy Spirit hears. He hears from the Father. He communicates. He speaks just as a person would speak. And He guides. There have been countless times where I have, before any type of project or job, I take a moment and I say, Holy Spirit, help me in this moment. And don't you know that He will, and He will give you instruction, and He will give you wisdom, and He is your helper. He is your helper in every aspect of life. not just regarding spiritual things. He is your helper. You're going through a difficult time. He is your helper. You're facing things that you do not know how to get yourself out of. He is your helper. Amen. And so one thing to know is that he is your helper and he is God. And he has come to live on the inside of you and help you. So he hears, he speaks, he guides. All, again, things relating to a person. And then the second point of this, really only 2 points to this message, but the second point of this is the Holy Spirit is eternal God. The Holy Spirit is eternal God. And so what do I mean by eternal? I mean that he has never had a beginning, and he will never have an end. He always has been, and he always will be. He is eternal. He is the eternal God. Let's look at this. We'll see some interesting scriptures in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Wait up. Hold on a second. I thought we were created by God. So who is the us that is being referred to in the book of Genesis? Who is the our image being referred to in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? It's God as well, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so in the very beginning, we see evidence that the Holy Spirit was there. He's God. He's the eternal God. Look at verse 27. We get a little bit more clarity on this, where it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." So we know that there was no other person who made us. There was no other being who made us. It was God who made us. And so therefore, the us in verse 26 and the our in verse 26 all relates back to God. God made us in his image. So you may have heard the word Trinity. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the concept is. In other words, you will find scriptures that back and prove the fact that he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so he is the person. He is the third person of the Trinity, as we like to say. And I want to bring just a couple of more verses out regarding this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." And look at this. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of the living God that was hovering over the face of the waters. If you don't believe me, looking at the Spirit of God, it comes from the Hebrew word ruah, which means breath or wind of heaven. It's the Spirit of God, the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Son, if you look up that particular word in that passage. And so we see in the Old Testament that he was the breath of God, that he was in the beginning, before the beginning, had a beginning, the Holy Spirit. He is eternal God. And we see this also in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, where it says, "How much more with the blood of Christ?" Now, this is an interesting passage. This is one of those verses where you see all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look at it. It says, "How much more with the blood of Christ," that's God the Son, "who through the eternal Spirit," that's God the Holy Spirit, "offered himself without blemish to God," that's God, our Heavenly Father, "purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So right here, the word eternal Spirit is used. And again, eternal, it comes from this Greek word, and it means without beginning or end. That which has always been and always will be. Now, we have a beginning date, and we have an expiration date, right? We have a day that we are born, and we have a day that one day we will all die. God has always been and will always continue to be. Now, that blows your mind. Think back a trillion years ago, God was there. Think back even more than that, God was there. And that just is mind-boggling because we are so construed to time. But we are dealing with an eternal God, and we have finite minds, and so there is no way that we can possibly understand all that God is, right? We were created by God. So he is eternal. It is the eternal spirit, as we've seen in Hebrews, without beginning and without end, and he will always continue to be. So now that we have established thus far that the Holy Spirit is a person, amen, he's not a thing, he's not a force, it's not like Star Wars, may the force be with you. It's not like that. He is a person, very personable God who lives on the inside of you, right? And we realize that he has come to accomplish the will of the heaven, of our Father. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is an eternal God. So what was the role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? If the Holy Spirit is eternal, then obviously he was up to something. And so let's see what the Holy Spirit was up to in the Old Testament. What was his role? Job says this about the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. He says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Job realized something. Hey, the breath that I breathe, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God breathed upon me, and that is the reason why I live. Now, so that was one role of the Holy Spirit, but we're going to look at many. The Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals and gave them incredible amount of ability beyond what most people would have. One example of this is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verse 1 through 5. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, and to work in every craft.'" And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Bezalel to do incredible work. How many of you guys know that the Spirit of the Lord can come upon you in your work and that you can begin to do incredible work? This is what we see in the Old Testament. We see that the Holy Spirit came upon ordinary people like David and Saul whenever it was time for them to rise up and be the kings of Israel, that the Holy Spirit came upon them as well. The Holy Spirit came upon some of the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah as they begin to utter instruction and warnings for the children of Israel. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from idolatry. Turn from these things or else judgment is coming. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon all these mighty men of God. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon the judges like Samson and Othniel and Gideon. And one particular instance, I think I'm going to read this one for you. In Judges chapter 14, verse 5 through 6, he says, "And behold," this is Samson now, "a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father and mother what he had done." So often the Spirit of God would come upon these men of God and to bring about great victories for the kingdom of Israel, for Israel, God's chosen people. And so you see certain instances where the Holy Spirit would come upon certain individuals. So we kind of looked at just a wide glance of what kind of took place in the Old Testament. Now, what about the New Testament? And what about our lives, being that we live after the cross? We live in a dispensation where Christ came. He died on the cross. He rose again. He has sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living among us. And so what is his role nowadays? Interesting thing. Whenever you study out the word Holy Spirit in the New Testament, it means the exact same thing as it does in the Old Testament. I have a definition for you guys. And you can, actually, it's a comparison. So the first one on top is the Spirit of God, the Ruah, the breath of wind of heaven, and in the New Testament, the Greek word pneuma, which is the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, the co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. It's the exact same person that we are talking about. Amen. So what is his role and what does he do? He comes to teach. He comes to guide, right? And so if there is something in your life or you're studying a passage of scripture and you're like, "God, I really don't understand how this can be so. God, I know that you're a loving God. How are all these things so, God? And he is the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things. Not just some things. He is there to teach you all things. John 14, 15 through 17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But look at verse 26. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So everything that Jesus communicated to his disciples, the Holy Spirit was to remind his disciples of everything that Jesus said. And again, he falls in line with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Nothing is out of order. Nothing is chaotic. The Holy Spirit comes to confirm everything that Jesus said. Another rule of the Holy Spirit is that he is very vital to our salvation. I want you to think back at the time whenever you first gave your heart to the Lord. Think about that time when you were living in sin and you were living in darkness and you did not know the light. The light was not in you. You were living in darkness. But something, maybe it was from a word from a pastor, maybe it was a word from a friend, something stirred on the inside of you and began to draw you to God. That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us, and he begins to draw us to salvation. He causes us to look at our sin and to see the filth of our sin, and he causes us to see who God is, that he is a holy and perfect and righteous God, and that there must be some sort of amends between a holy and righteous God and our sinful man, and he brings to our knowledge that we need Jesus as our Savior. And John 6:44 says, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. And so part of the role of the Holy Spirit is drawing us to salvation. Amen. Now, he also assures us of our salvation. I remember whenever I first got saved, I wasn't sure. You know, I was young. I was 17 years old. And so every altar call they would give, I was up there, God, I just want to make sure that I'm saved, right? And so I would give my life to the Lord over and over again. But until I realized, you know what, the Holy Spirit is the one who affirms you, who lets you know that you are a child of the living God. And that's part of his role. Romans 8:16-17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer, we don't like that part, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And so he assures us of our salvation. You don't have to question whether or not heaven is going to be your home. You can have assurance, you can have certainty that whenever you cross over from this life to the next, that you will be with God. Amen? That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He does that for you. He lets you know that you are his child. Another role is that he causes you to abound in hope. That's why a believer can go through a pandemic. That's why a believer can go through a hurricane. That's why a believer can go through great loss in their life. Because our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hope is found in the cross, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of our hope. He reminds us of that eternal hope that though it is bad right now, and though you're going through trials and tribulations in this earth right now, it won't always be so. There's coming a day, right, when we will have this glorified body. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more violence. There will be no more crime. There will be no more perversion. There will be no more sinfulness and wickedness. We will no longer have to deal with this, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of this hope that we have in Jesus. Amen. Scripture to back that up, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. The way that you are able to abound in hope is through the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to be a witness. You know, on your own, you don't have what it takes to go up to someone and tell them about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit working within you empowers you to be a witness. We see that in Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. He helps us in our weakness, and he intercedes for us, is what it says in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Anybody ever been weak before? Amen? I'm lifting both hands, both feet. If I have more limbs, I'll lift those as well. Have you been weak before? Right? He helps you in your weakness. He helps you when you don't have the strength to go on, when you don't know what it's going to look like, when there's a great deal of uncertainty. He helps you in your weakness. He is the Holy Spirit. And the one that we might not like, but he does it out of love, he convicts us of sin. Like, whenever you know that feeling, right? You look at me like, oh, I'm holy. I don't sin. I don't commit any sin. But you know, whenever you messed up and you sinned against the holy and perfect and righteous God, man, you just feel uneasy, right? You just have this uneasiness in your heart. Like, God, I really messed up there. I really said something that I shouldn't have said. I really expressed that out of anger, and I shouldn't express that out of anger. God, forgive me. You know, and so that's, again, the job and the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict you of sin. And he does so because he loves you. Amen? And so if he wouldn't correct you, he would not love you. If I did not love my children, I would not correct them. But because I love them and because I don't want them to turn out to be crackheads, I will discipline them, right? And I will, whenever I see that they're going astray, I will bring some discipline. Amen? Because I love them. And the same thing is with our Heavenly Father. He loves us. And the kids are cracking up over there, but the crackheads. But anyway, he convicts us of sin because he is a good Father and he loves us. And one of the last roles of the Holy Spirit is that he produces fruit on the inside of us. Amen. And so, like Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. In order to love like Jesus loves, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In order to have the peace that Jesus requires of us as Christians to have, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't be kind on your own, right? I mean, let someone cut you off while you're driving, and we're going to see that you're not very kind at all, right? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to remind us to stay on track, to stay on course. Now, I also want to say that the way that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of us, we're not going to catch the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm not going to throw something at you, and you're going to catch the Holy Spirit. That's not how it works, all right? And I've seen so many teachings that are not in the Bible. You know, you will not find an example of someone throwing something and you catching the Holy Spirit. You will not find examples of a glory bubble that you're going to somehow magically step into and get the Holy Spirit. Again, there's some whacked out theology out there. But what you will find in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says this, and Peter said to them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. You know, we make it so complicated, but whenever it's that simple, you repent of your sins. How many of you guys know that we are all sinners, according to the Bible? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have sinned. You have sinned. You have sinned. I have sinned. And we have all fallen short, and because of our sin, we need someone to stand in the gap for us for our sins. The Bible says that we can repent of our sins, turn from our sins, and that at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. You're not going to be perfect at that moment. He's going to continue his work. He's going to continue to sanctify you and make you more and more like Christ each and every day. All right? But he will begin his work. It's a matter of us opening the door, like they're doing a series right now in the youth, opening, you know, the different doors in their lives. But if we open up the door to the Holy Spirit, if we say, Holy Spirit, come and live on the inside of me, change me and make me more like you, and he will. Amen. I want to give you one final illustration that would, I think, will help us to better understand the Holy Spirit. We talked about him being a person of God. He's a triune being. He's the third person of the Trinity. And I've seen this illustration at kids camp, believe it or not, but I thought it was a really good one. And so whenever we think of God, we think of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So whenever I think of water, I think of three different phases. You have this water, which is a liquid form. I can see it. I can pour it out. I can mix in a sports drink or whatever and shake it up. But it is a liquid form. It's still water, but it's liquid. Then we see ice. And ice is still water. It's water nonetheless. It's frozen water, right? But it's water nonetheless. And then if I begin to heat this thing up, you could tell this has been heated up quite a few times. If I heat this thing up, it will begin to produce steam. And so we see the third part of water, which is steam. But all three of them are water nonetheless. And so with God, all three of them are God nonetheless. He is God the Father, He is God the Son, and He is God the Holy Spirit. Not three different gods, one God, three persons of God. Amen. So one of the biggest differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament was that in the Old Testament, what you see is like on certain individuals, certain kings, certain prophets, certain men of God whom God had particular tasks for, that the Spirit of God would come upon them. Even Saul, King Saul, it is said about him that the Holy Spirit came upon King Saul and that he began to prophesy. He had a good starting. He had a good beginning. But things began to go south for Saul. You look at it, David, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But in the New Testament, the hope and the joy that we have with the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just come upon certain individuals for certain tasks. He comes upon every individual who opens the door. And it is a permanent residence that he takes place, that takes place in your heart, right? He says he will give you the helper and he will be with you forever. Now, forever is a long time. I've only been on this earth for 44 years. I have not been on this earth forever. Forever is a long time. And God says, I will give you a helper, and he will be with you forever. He will dwell on the inside of you. If you have questions, he is there to answer those questions. If you are going through difficult times, he is there to be your helper. He is there to teach you. He is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Amen. I hope this message has helped you to understand, and as this series goes along, that your heart would be open to receive all that God would say to you regarding the Holy Spirit. And if you have not given your heart to the Lord, then the Holy Spirit is not living on the inside of you. He doesn't come to live in unclean temples. Right? We have to, and we don't clean ourselves out. Let me just clarify that. We are clean by the blood of the Lamb. We are clean by what Jesus has done for us. We are clean by the cross. You know, about everything that he has done for us in the cross is enough. But if we have not received this free gift of salvation, if we have not confessed Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, if we have not invited the Holy Spirit to come in and live on the inside of us, then today the encouragement to you is that you would do so. Is that you would say, it starts with a prayer. It's not like you say a prayer and you're sealed for the rest of your days, but it starts with saying, today, I profess you as my Lord. I profess you as the Son of the living God. I declare that you are the Son of the living God, Jesus. I believe in the work that you have done on the cross and that what you paid for my sins is final and complete and is able to wash away all of my sins and all of my shame and all of my guilt. And I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, if that is you this morning, we invite you to not only just say this prayer, but we invite you to let God radically change your life. As you say yes to the Holy Spirit coming on the inside of you, you're going to notice some things. As we talked about, he convicts you of sin. He'll begin to show you things in your life that are not pleasing to him. He begins to lead you down the right path. He begins to say, I want you to do this. I want you to go this direction. I want you to surrender this. But again, that is all the work of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Lord, we just want to thank you so much for this word. God, we declare, Lord, with our mouths and confess, Lord, that you are the Son of God. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room who has not given their heart to the Lord, they're still living in their sins, God, today I pray that you will convict them. As we learn, no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit of God begins to draw them to repentance. God, we pray that that would be so. We pray that your Spirit would begin to draw all men unto repentance. Lord, Lord, we just ask, Lord, for us, for those of us who are in this room, Lord, who are saved, Lord, that we will be led by the Spirit of God, that you will lead our thoughts, that you will lead our actions, and all that we do, oh Lord, we want to be led by your Holy Spirit. Fill us today, Lord, for those who are just needing just to be refreshed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we receive that today. And if that's you, would you just maybe raise your hands and say, God, I received that. I received the refreshing of the Holy Spirit today. For those of you who just need the Holy Spirit to do a miracle in your life, say, I receive that by faith in the name of Jesus. I receive it by faith. For those who just need a word from God, that you would receive that word right now in the name of Jesus. You are a helper, O Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your work of redemption. We thank you for your work of sanctification in our lives. And be with us, your people, oh God, as we live to seek you and live for you each and every day. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Could you just stand to your feet right where you are? Just stand to your feet and lift your hands to heaven. And we're just going to declare, Lord, fill us. Can you just say that out loud? Say, Lord, fill me. I want to speak a blessing over you as you leave this morning. I'm just going to declare that we will be receptive. We're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and what's not the Holy Spirit in the next couple of weeks. We're going to ask God. The Bible says to even ask God for gifts. The gift giver says to ask God for gifts. So that's what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks, and believing that he will fill us. So can you just do this? Say, dear God, I am open to your Spirit. Speak to me, fill me, and teach me. In Jesus' name I pray. Let me just pray, Lord, we ask, God, in for this congregation. God, we speak a blessing over their lives. God, as they walk out of this room this morning, that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God, that they will be a witness into Judea and Samaria and school and jobs all across this community. God, they will be filled with hope. Lord, the Bible says when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be filled with a hope that comes from you. So God, teach us and correct us. Holy Spirit, be in this place and just reveal to us in the next couple of weeks who you are, and that we'll walk in your authority and your power. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Visitors, make sure you grab a visitor card, bring it to the front desk, and don't you forget to grab one of those Samaritan purse boxes or two of them, fill them out, bring them to the front desk, and tell the world about Jesus. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30 for Bible study in Jesus' name.